Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, for this week's industry review, I'm taking a dive into hives and talking to people in the beekeeping world. I'm delighted to be joined here in studio by Emma Finn of Bees on the Roof, Oma Gilakoda of Lanair Honey, I hope I pronounced that right, Owen, and also Pat McCormack of the farmhouse Bees and Trees. You're so welcome to the programme, all three of you. Owen, I might start with you. It's interesting that we're talking about Irish honey here. Not something I knew a huge amount before now, but reading my notes, I see that 85% of our honey is actually imported in this country. That's a very, very high stat.
It is, yeah. There is a lot of imported, and across Europe as well, a lot of the honey be imported into Europe. And a lot of that would actually probably quite poor quality honey from different countries around the world. There's some, there's some major exporters, countries that are exporters. But Ireland has a long tradition of producing honey. You know, it's in our culture and all that. And the Irish honey tends to be very good quality, artisan-produced honey.
Yeah. And does it say that if you sell you sell 4 to 7 tons of honey a year, you tell us, and you sell 90% of that in County Louth, that probably tells me, reading those stats, that you could sell 3 or 4 times that amount?
I mean, the thing is, there's a huge demand for Irish honey, and the problem is it involves a lot of education. Once people find out locally that you produce honey and they start tasting it and realise, compare the taste to the so-called honey that's on the shelves and in the large supermarkets, they realise the difference and they won't go back. So then you get a lot of loyalty of the customers to stay with you. I mean, I'm from a small parish in County Louth. And, it's amazing how much honey the families there buy each week, you know.
Fantastic. And then just before I go on to our other guest, the third stat that caught my eye was that 80% of the honey that you produced is generally produced in the month of July.
Yeah, it varies a bit around the country from year to year, but generally the biggest crop in Ireland would be blackberry blossom and white clover, which would be in flower in July. So you are kind of depending on good weather in July, which we didn't have last July, which was probably one of the worst, the wettest July on record, and it was fairly challenging, to say the least.
Okay, let's bring in our next guest, Emma Finn, Bees on the Roof, based in Artain. Emma, tell us about your journey into beekeeping.
Well, it was about 15 years ago.
Right.
I'd had my kids and I found out a few of them were allergic. And I had heard then that local honey produced in your neighbourhood would be good for the allergies. And that's how I decided I am going to go and get my own bees, which turned into such a journey. So it has gone from doing the beginner's course with the Fingal North Dublin Beekeepers Association.
Which was 15-odd years ago, was it?
15 years ago. I had to wait because they only took 30 in the class. It was very confined, no online, nothing like that. And I had to wait a year. But they said I could go to the meetings. So in I went and heard this whole new language. Not a clue what was going on for so long till I got into the classes. And since then, it's been, learning all the time. It's very hands-on. The smell and the taste and everything that comes out of the hive, it's so unique.
And tell me how many hives you would operate, Emma.
I run about 20 hives at the moment.
Okay. And just tell me a little bit about the commitment around that, the work that's involved.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's, that they need for pretty much constant attention.
Well, it's not constant, but it would be, there'd be a lot of work going on starting now that you're preparing all your equipment to get you into the summer so that you don't get any surprises when the season starts and the bees all take off.
Yeah.
So we were just talking about this, that last year the spring was so bad that we thought everything was behind, and then suddenly there was a bit of good weather and the bees took off, and then everything was going really well for a month until then the weather turned bad.
Yeah. So it's like any kind of farm husbandry, or the weather is a huge player In whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Because I have bees both out in the country, out in North County Dublin, and also around the city. So it's very interesting to see the forage change between the weeks, you know, when it's close in, where you're talking totally urban versus out there.
And tell me a little bit about the taste difference in the honey.
Yeah.
Again, for a layman, that would be, say, from an urban city hive on top of a roof in Dublin 1 versus something down in West Cork or in Connemara.
Well, it's so interesting because in November, in our association, we got everybody to bring in a jar of honey. And so you're talking about greater North Dublin area, everything north of the Liffey. And the range of colour and the range of taste from all those different jars of honey, even in our small area, say 20, 30 kilometres, compare, like, that's totally different. And then you again, you go to the heather or you've got ivy. So even when the honey is in the same place year after year, it's never going to be the same because it's always a natural product of what the bees brought in that particular
year. Sure, sure.
So it's
very
never the same. Yeah.
Stay with us. So I want to bring our third guest. Sorry I've been so long coming to you. Pat McCormack, Farmhouse Bees and Trees. Tell us your story, Pat.
Well, I suppose my beekeeping journey started when I was in Hort College up in Greenon. There was a man called Philip McCabe, which was a very well-known beekeeper. He was sadly passed away.
I interviewed him one or two times. A great man.
He taught beekeeping in the college, so that was my kind of introduction to it. And then I'm involved in horticulture myself, so for years we've been saying we must get bees, we must get bees. And then about 5 years ago, we inherited some of my wife's family's bees, and that kind of started us off. So there's myself, my wife, my two kids, and we're all involved in the beekeeping. We've developed our hives now up to, last year we had about 60 production colonies. We'll probably add a few to it this year. We do a bit of queen rearing and nuc production as well.
Okay. Interesting you say that. I had a close call with bees because my own wife came from a family of beekeepers. And when our late father died, we donated. He was actually the accountant for the Irish Beekeepers Association for a long time. The most honest man you could have. But Mary donated all his gear and that to a museum that they were setting up. So,
very good.
She was brought up around queen bees in the car and in the kitchen and all that stuff. But I used to only see it from the distance. But when you say colonies, Pat, you say you have 60, you're hoping to expand to 80. Tell me what is a colony? How big is it?
So a full colony of bees is kind of 11 frames in a brood box.
Okay.
Whereas a nuc would be typically 5 to 6 frames.
So is each of those huts a colony?
A colony is a unit of bees, so it's a beehive. So
right.
It has 11 frames in the brood box generally. That would be what you would class as a kind of a full production colony. Now that can be, it can expand to a double brood box in the months of May, and the supers then for the honey are stacked on top of that above a queen excluder.
Okay. So as this is a business programme, I'm interested in the business of selling jars of honey and
okay.
How you make your few bob. Tell us a little bit about how you get your jars of honey on shelves. Do you even need to do that? Or how do you go about reaping what you sow, let's call it?
Okay, well, I suppose last year we did a kind of a rebrand with the farmhouse, and most of our honey would be sold locally or farmers markets, agri shows, vintage days. We get a lot of repeat business from local people. We live in the village of Abishrule in Longford, so we have an honesty box in the village. And then we have a farmhouse that's about 3 kilometres outside the village on the Greenway.
So will someone come up and put €5 into the honesty box and take a jar?
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's just an honesty box. People come, there's a selection of the honeys there, they can leave their money
and take
the honey.
And do the books balance on the honesty box generally?
Yes, most of the time, yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Very, very seldom is there any discrepancies.
Isn't that great?
Which is great.
Wow. Good, good. And what a lovely initiative as well. Emma, back to you. We hear kind of romantic stories about Maluka honey and how it's this and it's that. Would I be right in saying, and I'm sure you guys will say it on your own behalf, but would I be right in saying that good Irish honey is every bit as good as Maluka honey?
You would.
Right.
Well, most of the manuka out there is probably not as good as you think it is, because there's not enough plants for the amount of manuka that's on sale.
So the mats don't add up?
Not at all.
Okay.
So we've had our heather honey tested, and it comes very close to having all the same health benefits as the manuka honey, as the real manuka honey. And there's no air miles. Somebody's lifted those hives up to the heather at the end of August, let the bees do their work on this single crop, brought it back down and processed it very minimally. So a much better product for you. So if I'm doing any talks, I'd say if there's any chance of you getting it, buy enough jars to last you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very interesting. Does that tell you, though, that maybe we need to tell a better story?
It's all about
in terms of Irish honey.
Yeah, it's
absolutely. In terms of marketing yourselves collectively.
Yeah. We're saying that we, I think, are really undervaluing. It is improving, but we're really undervaluing. Like, it's such a bespoke product. You can't get machines in to do it. You have to do it yourself. It's hands on. And, you know, for the value that goes into that. And if you're going to the shop and buying this stuff, it is so difficult to be sure what you're buying in the shop. So just for this program, I went into the local supermarket, not a chain, and I checked. And it's got all these very Irish names, and you'd be so surprised. But then double checking, it's a blend of EU and non-EU honey. You have no clue what that is.
Yeah.
And also then there was a product of Mexico. There was another product of Spain. Organic. There is no organic honey in Ireland.
So you'd be critical of the labelling and the misrepresentation, per
absolutely.
Se,
yeah, it's
in the
really,
marketplace.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of adulteration. And people are... somebody sent me a label one day, and I was reading it, and I could not figure out... We all know what the legislation is. We know exactly, to the point, and what size the font has to be on a label. But I could not work out where that honey was from. I actually had to go to the shop and stand in the shop for 10 minutes reading the label. It was so obscure.
Wow. Okay, we've loads of texts coming in. I'm going to come to them in a second. But I want to ask Owen about the business aspect of your business. 4 to 7 tons sounds like a lot of honey. In terms of jars, approximately how much is that?
Well, I suppose a jar is most of my jars are 3/4 of a pound. So if you do the math, so there's 2,200 pounds in a ton.
So, okay, that's a significant...
So I suppose it should be, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
it's a lot of honey, yeah. Yeah, but as I said, like, there's a great market for Irish honey. So I started off in farmers' markets originally just to get my name out, and they were great fun. I really enjoyed the farmers'
market.
They're hard work, especially during the winter,
yeah.
And a lot of travel and packing up, and it's, you know, but you meet the customers, but it does take a lot of time. And so eventually, you know, I've found it's better off to, it was a great way of getting your name out there, but
yeah.
I found it was better to start putting honey into local shops. And then I still have a couple of guys who sell my honey in farmers markets here in Dublin, all right. You know, they just a couple of guys do that. But, you know, small local shops actually is
okay.
You know,
let's look at some of the texts coming in. Maybe you might help me with them. Maybe this one for you, Emma. I live in South Dublin suburbs. Can I keep bees in my back garden?
Possibly. First, I'd say go and do a course, and then you could get a mentor to check your garden.
So don't do it without
no.
a little bit of research.
No.
And okay. Another text says, I want to help with bee populations. How can I make my back garden more attractive to bees? Pat, you might help us with that.
I suppose a very basic thing that everyone can do is plant some pollination plants that are suitable for pollinators. Allow your lawns to... those dandelions and the little bit of clover to flourish and flower, create bits of areas for natural habitat that everything isn't pruned within an inch of its life.
Sure.
That will help all sorts of bees and pollinators.
Okay.
That's something that everybody
and
can
we
do.
When we see the councils over the last number of years not cutting big swathes of grass, letting things form into meadows, has that been helpful
to
the bees?
It has, but I think with local councils, because my day job is horticulture, so I have a kind of foot in both things, we can see huge changes in horticulture in the trends for planting.
Right.
So everybody's more conscious of we need to introduce pollination planting. You know, whereas years ago you had a lot of shrubs and evergreen things, it looked nice. Now everyone takes into account the benefits of having pollinator-friendly planting.
Okay. One more text. Are any of your beekeepers ever called out to deal with wasps' nests in people's houses?
often.
I see everybody saying, nodding yes, saying, I wish I wasn't, but I am.
Unfortunately, most people cannot tell the difference between a bee and a wasp, even though if you look them closely, they're so different. I mean, everybody expects a bee to be yellow and black, but the Irish bee is actually mostly black or maybe brown. Whereas wasp is distinctly, you know, almost...
And joking aside, what problems do wasps cause for bees? Or
You know, wasps are native to Ireland as well, and but they can cause a little problem, so especially if you're a weak hive in the later part of the year. They will can target that and clean it out. But a strong hive has no problem against wasps. The wasps would commit suicide trying to get into it, and they haven't a chance, I hope, of getting in.
Okay. Pat, just again back to the business side of things, the fact that you basically work two jobs, does that allow you, I suppose, maybe to enjoy the business more, that you have maybe the security of another job to allow you maybe dabble a bit and experiment a bit, even though I'm very sure that you take both jobs very seriously.
I suppose I find. With my day job, I suppose there's a lot of pressures with it because you're landscaping on multiple sites. So when I go home in the evening time, I love going to spend, I'll say, right, I'm going to go check an apiary this evening. Myself and my wife head off and we go check the bees. For me, it's a great, there's no phones, there's no emails.
Yeah.
You're checking your bees, you're hands-on. And for that hour and a half or 2 hours in an evening, it's just looking at the bees and checking the bees. And it's just, I love working with the bees.
Yeah.
I think the bees are brilliant and they're fascinating creatures.
Wow. And we were talking earlier about extensions of the products. Am I right in your saying that your wife makes candles out of the beeswax?
She does. She makes candles, beeswax
and
candles.
How does that work? Or?
Well, basically what we do is when we harvest our honey, we have the cappings wax. The cappings wax goes for more cosmetic things, so lip balms and face creams and hand creams. And then when we render out the frames of wax, we filter all the wax, get all the debris in, and get it clean. And then that's moulded into beeswax, pure beeswax candles.
Yeah.
Which we sell at the markets and stuff as well.
Emma, what's the corporate appetite for firms putting hives up on roofs of office buildings and that kind of thing? Yeah. I've read a bit about it, but is it something that many corporates are interested in terms of promoting their own sustainable credentials?
Yeah, they all have, you know, their ESG objectives to meet. So there is a lot of interest. And I mean, I have phone calls from Athlone and Galway, Cork. They want me to do it in Belfast. So yes, they really do want to tick these boxes and they want to get staff engaged. So mostly going in, doing the honey tasting, bringing a bit of mead, showing them the wax and the candles and bringing a bit of cream. That's where you get the staff engagement. And
but it's a bit probably like a puppy dog. It's not just for Christmas. If you make a commitment to bees, someone has to look after them.
Yeah,
somebody has
me.
To... That's your job.
That's my job. So okay. I'll put them in and I'll mind them and then I will take the honey and give it to them. So they would... sometimes I keep the frames natural and I give it to them that they could put it in their canteen and everybody can have a little look and then afterwards then they can break it down or I'll jar it and then they can give it out to staff or use it in the canteen.
And can I ask you, is that an integral part of your business, your overall business?
It is the main part of my business, but I'm working on a new part now where I am trying to create these pollinator corridors through the city. So to kind of mimic our hedgerows out in the country, I want to create these insect gardens on the roofs of bus stops and Lewis darts.
Wow.
that will make the city a better place for all our insects.
Wow. That sounds very interesting. Good luck with that. Are you working with somebody in the council on that?
Not yet, but they're the people I'm calling out to right
hopefully
now.
Hopefully they're listening. Yeah. Hopefully they're listening. Owen, what about the future of the sector when you look forward now? You know, you're all doing great work here, and which is lovely to see. You're all clearly loving what you do. So this is a labour of love that just happens to be a business. I can see by all three of you that you're in it for the love of your craft. Which trumps any kind of commercial ambition. But what about the future of the businesses? We hear things about the bee population being good and not so good. Are you worried about the weather?
Yeah, it's. I mean, there is challenges, but I mean, you know, honeybees are reasonably healthy populations at the moment. The one thing in Ireland is that we, you know, we have a native honeybee, and that's a little bit under threat from imports of other types of bees. One of the biggest probably problems in this country is that we have very little engagement from our Department of Agriculture in beekeeping, in informal beekeeping. They've done nothing to support
beekeepers. Are they guilty of looking at it as a kind of a hobbyist type of thing, that's for fellas who are around?
They do provide grants to the beekeeping organisations, and the beekeeping organisations, all education in beekeeping in Ireland is done on a voluntary basis by other beekeepers. But there's nothing to support, say, full-time or semi-professional beekeeper, like in Europe, where there'd be huge supports. And just even advice, you know, and that is
that's disappointing. Yeah. Given that, you know, and looking at your own figures alone, there seems to be a massive opportunity there.
There's a huge opportunity. And as well, you know, even if you had a bit more involvement, national involvement in marketing, you know, because most Irish people don't seem to even know that there is such a thing as Irish honey and that it differs from the, you know, the bulk product that gets into the supermarket, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I think it's great work you're doing and I've really enjoyed our conversation. So, keep doing what you're doing and enjoy it. And big thanks to my beekeepers, Emma Finn from Bees on the Roof, Owen McGillicoda from Lanlair Honey up there in County Louth, and Pat McCormack from Abbey Struel Farmhouse Bees and Trees. Thank you all for joining us.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.